Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Lloyd Wood, the Director of Public Affairs with the NCTO, which stands for the National Council of Textile Organizations. Lloyd, how are you doing today?
Doing just great.
It's good to talk to you. For a little background on you, you've got a law degree from UVA, and you've been representing American manufacturing interests, and now with the NCTO. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
The National Council of Textile Organizations is a Washington, D.C.-based trade association comprised of four councils to ensure a broad representation of the industry supply chain. We have a fiber council, we have a yarn council, a fabric and home furnishings council, and an industry support council. So we represent a very broad segment of the industry, but what we do not represent is the cut and sew into the equation.
Well, you and I had a conversation yesterday. The topic this week that's front and center of the news is the debate around these Chinese tariffs that are being discussed in Washington under this Section 301 provision. And I liked your background knowledge and thought our listeners might like to hear a little bit more about this. So, first question, give us a perspective on this whole Section 301, how this came about and what it stands for.
I think the first thing to understand is there are multiple mechanisms to address trade issues in the law. One of those is Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1984. This law authorizes the president to take all appropriate action, including retaliation, to obtain the removal of any act or policy or practice of a foreign government that violates an international trade agreement or is unjustified, unreasonable, or discriminatory, and that burdens or restricts U.S. commerce. These 301 cases can be self-initiated by the U.S. government or by a petition from an industry group or a company. The USTR initiates an investigation. It then, tries to seek out a settlement. But if it can't get a settlement, then you can do things like demanding compensation, in this case, tariffs.
And generally, it's focused on either IP, intellectual property theft, or dumping, which means selling things for lower than the cost to build them. So,
yeah, it's very, very broad based on what it can address, but the U.S. government across multiple administrations has been very focused on the intellectual property issue because that's a strength of the United States. And the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative has issued a 301 report on an annual basis for a number of years. This seems to be a very natural mechanism to be able to address this problem because in many cases, the problem is occurring offshore in China, and so there's not a U.S. remedy to deal with that other than something like a Section 301 case.
Mm-hmm. And why is the executive branch kind of the leading versus the legislative branch where Congress, meets and discusses and debates?
Right. Well, of course, Congress is the entity that writes the statutes, but the executive branch is responsible for enforcing the law. And I think the one thing that we've certainly seen over a number of years is the Congress has certainly given substantially more power and flexibility to the executive branch on the trade issue. Now, for the last 30 years, leading up to the Trump administration, arguably, what that authority has been used to do is to actually lower tariffs, to increase access to the U.S. market, without necessarily getting commensurate access to foreign markets in return. Or even if you are getting commensurate access to foreign markets, it's not clear whether the foreign market is as valuable as the U.S. market.
So what you're saying is that over time, perhaps other presidents have not done a great job, which has resulted in an imbalance of trade.
Well, that's what we in the U.S. textile sector would argue.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure there's other people that would argue differently,
right,
depending on their business model. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing with the broad authority, as I think your listeners understand. It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a president who's determined to rebalance the trade issue, to try to rebuild the production sector of the U.S. economy, which of course in turn will aid the innovation sector of the U.S. economy. So he's using these very tools that in some cases have been, you know, neglected or not used, in other cases, you know, used in different ways to try to get to his policy goals. But, you know, Congress has the authority, the power to regulate tariffs, that kind of thing. You know, essentially they've stepped back from that authority to some degree.
Well, let me ask you, with 3.5% unemployment, who's going to man these factories?
Certainly in the textile sector, one of the things that we have advocated for is increased U.S. investment to try to speed the commercialization of robotic garment assembly. And that's incredibly critical because I think, you know, as you know, the textile sector, fiber, yarn, fabric into the equation is very automated. But that's not the same with the cut and sew, and that's why so much of that business has gone to Asia, where you've lost, you know, the textile input manufacturing component here in the United States.
All right, two more questions before we run out of time. First off, this Lighthizer guy, the guy that's running these hearings, he's serving in this role for 40 years. So the quick question is that do these hearings really play a role in the decision? Is this true due diligence, and is someone keeping score?
This is absolutely true due diligence, and you have precedent from the first round of $50 billion in tariffs that were proposed. You had a substantial number of comments filed on those items, and the administration ended up putting tariffs on $34 billion in items and not on $16 billion. Of course, then they went and proposed another $16 billion in other product areas. But that process shows where if the administration proposed a tariff on a product that was going to make U.S. manufacturing less competitive, you know, there's a good chance that the administration may well take that item off the list. And that's the process that they're going through right now with the $200 billion in tariffs that are being considered.
And the last question for you is, when is a tariff right and when is a tariff wrong? Let me give you a caveat to that. In this latest $200 billion evaluation, you know, we've got products that we can't make in this country, and then we've got products where we don't have the capacity at this time to maybe shift the capacity. And then we also have products where we're market leaders. Tell us when it fits and when it doesn't fit.
Where there are products that, as you have said, where there's not U.S. capacity, a great example of this would be something like acrylic fiber, which is basically not produced in the United States, but it's something that we can weave into fabric all day long. Now, if there's, you know, no U.S. production there, or if there's a case where maybe China is a substantial producer, it may not make sense to put a tariff on that particular product because, again, you go back to the point, does it hurt the U.S. manufacturing supply chain? That will be the test that the U.S. government looks at.
All right, Lloyd, I really appreciate your input on this and your learned experience, having been in Washington for a long time and analyzing this whole role of tariffs. Again, been talking to Lloyd Wood, the Director of Public Affairs with the NCTO, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.